Amen. I don't want to waste another day. Tomorrow might be too late. Don't say tomorrow. Say right now. I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. Just say this here from your heart. Heavenly Father, forgive me for how I've lived. I have not walked with you to the degree that I know I should be. So, Lord, I repent. I change my mind. Now, Lord, help me. Strengthen me now. I come get the grace and the mercy I need for this time in my life. I know that you have a plan for my life. And right now, I choose to imitate you. I choose to walk just like Jesus walked. So, Lord, from this moment forward, from right now, I rededicate my life to you, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, to walk in faith, to walk in wisdom, to walk in divine grace and favor, to walk with you in every area of my life. I thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I'm clean by the blood and by the word that I heard tonight. Now, Lord, fill me with the Spirit, so I can be led by the Spirit of God. Feel me right now. Hallelujah.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I just want you to get your Bibles, if you will. I want to look at two separate passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Acts chapter 20, verse 19 through 20 reads thusly: Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I want to turn again to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want us to look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Recorded are these words: But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, hearers and more especially the doers. I want to talk for just a little while about a ministry that counts. A ministry that counts. Paul deals with this word, and there are two different areas of word that we are coming from today, but more than just the context of these areas, I wanted to lift out Paul's personal ministry that made all of the difference in not only what he did, but who he was. One of the things that's important to know, that before your ministry can be valuable, before your ministry can be a blessing, you must first come into a place where God, number one, is in direct relationship and fellowship with you, thereby having the control over what you do, what you say, where you go, how you live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then and only then can we have a ministry that counts. One of the things, again, that we look at and we see that, I want to go back, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And I want to look at this word because Paul is dealing with his call to the Ephesian elders and he's speaking to them. But when he says in verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind." First thing that I want you to see about this word and what is attractive about a ministry that counts is the fact that, one, it was a ministry of humility, a humble ministry. Brothers and sisters, many times, regardless of whether God has called you into a specific area of ministry other than preaching and teaching the word, what we must become cognizant of the fact is this, that whatever God assigns us to do as a ministry, it is designed to meet needs. One of the things that you must understand about God is he has promised that he wouldn't put more on us than what we can bear. Now that is both in responsibility and rewards. And so sometime God will begin a ministry with you in a space or a place that seems to be far beneath you, that seems to be not with the ability, or less than the ability, I should say, of what you have to offer. But sometimes it's not your activity, it's your attitude. That God wants to make sure you understand this is not your personal possessive ministry, but it is your ministry as a steward, and you recognize that it is totally his ministry that he assigns and anoints you to do for his glory, and whomever you minister to, good. So there must be a humility in ministry if you're going to have a ministry that counts, because sometime God wants to bring you to a place where sometime if you get the big head, you won't go. Sometime God wants to do a certain thing in you or use you for a certain purpose, reason, or season. But what you must understand, if it is for his glory and for those to whom you minister good, then you must recognize you have got to have a spirit of humility, an humble spirit. And so notice here what Paul says. He says again, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mine. All humility of mine. That means I go where he says go, do what he says do, talk to who he says talk to, minister to who he says minister to. I'm not too big that I can't talk to the drug addict, to the man on the street, to the homeless man. I'm not too proud, I'm not too elevated, escalated, that I can't say to whosoever will, Jesus loves you and he sent me to tell you that. Paul is making clear his position because it's important for you to understand you can't work up till you first learn how to work down. And God tests you, he tries you, he puts you in places and positions to see whether or not you've got the humility of mind to be able to do something that's beneath you. Beneath you. God calls you, he puts you on program. Well, I'm Dr. So-and-so. If I can't be the main speaker, I ain't gonna pray. Don't call me to do no prayer. Call me to be the main speaker or get Joe Blow down the street somewhere. I know you must be talking about somebody else. But see, that's a limited person whom God will use in limited places. Because what you might not recognize is you're humbling yourself to do that prayer on a program where you think you should have been the main speaker. God may do more through that prayer than he does through the speaker who presents the message. It may just be a case of them seeing whether or not you humble yourself. Now, do make sure you understand when God unctions you to do, because you can't go everywhere and you can't preach everywhere and you can't do that. But when God unctions you, you've got to be humble enough to say yes to the Lord. Notice here again, because there are some other things in these two verses that I want us to see. Not only should there be a humility in ministry, but there should be an earnest ministry. An earnest ministry. Look at what he says. Let's go back to the word, and I want you to see verse 19 still in Acts chapter 20. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Many tears. An earnest ministry. Paul so loved the Lord and he loved the people of God so much so that when things were burdened upon his heart concerning the people of God or them not receiving the word of God or the will of God or the way of God that God desired, and when he had so much to say but they were not ready to hear it, weren't able to bear it, it burdened him many times to tears. Paul would be looking at a congregation and preaching the word, and he'd see how some of their minds were far off from what he was saying. And the burden of trying to get them to understand, not just preaching to be preaching. I've said it before, it's one thing to love to preach, it's another thing to love those to whom you preach. You see, because you can just love to preach and watch the people go to hell after you preach. But if you love the people to whom you preach, your preaching doesn't stop with your sermonic presentation. You want to make sure they understand what you're saying and grasp it and then apply it and then reap the benefits of it. You want to see them in every regard grasp that word until the word makes a change in their lives. And Paul was earnest about his ministry. He didn't say stuff just to be saying stuff. He didn't do things just to be doing things, but he did it so that he might win the people of God, win the hearts of the people to God, and do those things that pleased God and profited the people. He had an earnest ministry. Something else I want you to pick out of this word today and understand. He had a teaching ministry. We're talking about a ministry that counts, because if you're not willing to teach the people, you're not willing to change the people. Preaching challenges folk. It stirs folk up. It excites folk. It even incites folk. But teaching changes folk. That's why in Matthew 1 and 2, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, you'll see that Jesus went up on a mountaintop, and when he was set, the Bible says in verse 2, he taught them. Now there is a difference between a preaching and a teaching reality. Again, the teaching form is designed to reach underneath the skin, presented in such a way that you take apart the text and present to them some truth on a level of understanding that you do not have time to deal with or go into and bring out as much clarity in a sermonic presentation. That's why the word says he sat down. He got himself set. He said, listen, I hope y'all ain't in a hurry, because it's going to take a while to get over. And he literally unfolded the word. When they heard Jesus teach, there's a record that said, some said he taught as one having authority. He didn't just teach a sermon or teaching a presentation. He taught to change people. And that's why either they were drawn to him after the teaching or they were driven away from him after the teaching, but they never stayed the same. Paul adapts and adopts this ministry to his own, and he teaches the people of God. Look at what he says again, Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation, representing trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And look what he goes on to say in verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Look, he goes on further and he says, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul says, my passion for teaching you, helping you to grasp the truth of God's word and apply the truth of God's word. He said, I didn't hold back anything from you that I knew would be profitable to you if you heard it and you heeded it. He says, I taught you publicly and I went into your homes and taught you privately. That were those I shared the gospel with that I knew who would share it with others. And I took you on and went and taught and ministered to you individually in your house, from house to house. Didn't mind what it cost him to prepare and present the word so that those who would hear it would benefit from it. And he makes clear that teaching was a necessary part of his ministry. Listen at this well, because I want you to see here. Not only is there a need for humility in ministry and an earnestness in ministry and teaching in ministry, but it must be a divinely empowered ministry. Now let's go to First Corinthians chapter 15 right quick. I want to share a couple things with you, and then I'll move right back to Acts for one more time. He was divinely empowered because he says, listen, in the middle of verse 10, he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked. But he tells how he works at the beginning of the verse. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He makes clear that the favor of God that he had empowered him to do the assignment that he had been given. My brothers and sisters, what I want you to recognize is you cannot do a ministry God has not assigned you to. And it is his favor, it is his grace, it is his anointing upon you for the assignment he's called you to that will cause you to be successful in that ministry. Whether it's a small ministry, a medium-sized ministry, a great ministry, regardless of that, God's assignment is always well-fitted with his anointing. One time, T.D. Jakes said of those who were stealing his material and preaching it, he said, you might be able to steal my sermons, but you can't steal my anointing. And it means very simply that when God gives something to you, it's not that others can't use it, but when he gives it to you for a specific people, for a specific purpose, and for a specific period, it is his anointing on it for you to accomplish the thing that he has assigned you. And I want you to know that this is much bigger than pastoral ministry or teaching ministry or simply preaching ministry. I'm talking about those of you whom God has called in whatever area of labor or ministry he's speaking to you in. A ministry that counts. I didn't say a pastorate that counts. I didn't say a preaching experience that counts. I said a ministry that counts. And so God has given many of you ministry. It may be a prison ministry, a hospital ministry. It may be a ministry of encouragement. It may be a missionary ministry. It may be several types of ministry God has given to those of you who are here or listen to me by way of radio, cassette, etc. God has given you a ministry, and for it to count, you must incorporate some things that God himself works as principles regardless of who practices them. Listen again to what this word says. Because he was divinely empowered to do ministry. Now, a lot of folk want to do ministry because they see the limelight. They see the spotlight. But they don't know what it takes to get before the spotlight. They don't know that a 20-minute, 30-minute message takes hours of preparation and prayer and meditation. They don't understand that even with all of the preparation and all of the presentation, if there is not an anointing of God on that message, it ain't going nowhere. All of the things that God has assigned your hand to do, if you don't go before God, if you don't become empowered by God, you will not accomplish that thing. And so it's important to recognize that. Listen at this. There's another thing that you should be in your ministry in order for it to count, and that is faithful. Faithful. Let's go back, if you will, to Acts just one more time. That's our last time there, in verse 20 of the chapter 20. Look at this, because he's faithful. Acts chapter 20, verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He was faithful. You know, he didn't wait until they started acting right to give them his best. He wrote to them many times, talked to them about those things that were out of order and out of the will of God and those that didn't line up with the word. But he made clear that he was faithful to the ministry and he gave his best and never held back anything that would have been profitable for them. You know how sometimes when folk make you mad, you say, oh, I was going to give you this. But if you're going to act like that, anybody know what I'm talking about here? Don't get so holy and so spiritual that you can't deal with the realness of situations. How many times have you designed in your mind, had in your heart, you were going to bless somebody, but then they made you mad? You may have still given it to them, but you didn't give it to them when you planned to give it to them because they didn't have no act right at that present moment. Some of y'all sitting there with your faces all misconstrued here. That ain't really a word like that, but that's okay. Truth of the matter is, because that's how some of you all are. And what if God would treat you like that? Because there are many times he blesses us and we don't deserve it. There are many times he looked beyond our faults and still meet our needs. Paul was faithful to carry out the assignment under the anointing, and when God spoke a word, it may have been a word of blessing in the midst of their misbehaving, and yet he still ministered that word. When he wanted to say this, but God said, say that. He was faithful to God and to those to whom he ministered to. My brothers and sisters, I need you to know that that spoke volumes about Paul's ministry and about our ministry individually and collectively. How, look again, he says, verse 20, and how I, personal, kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. His faithfulness to God made him faithful to his people, made him faithful to his preaching, made him faithful to his practices, and his faithfulness was one of the things that caused God to use him greater. With all of his physical limitations and ailments, God used this man greater than any other single individual in the New Testament save Jesus Christ. Why? And this is one of the reasons why we're looking at a ministry that counts. Because you're going to discover there are some helpful holy hints in the things I'm sharing that will lift you and your ministry to a new place in God and cause God to use you greater when you understand these principles and practice them. Last thing I want to say about this word is that when you are called to a ministry that counts, it may mean it's a ministry that must be labored in intensely. You know, in order for a ministry to grow, somebody's got to do some work. You don't just walk into a church and the church just blows up with people and folk just come. There's got to be some laboring in the ministry that makes that ministry attractive enough that God will send new laborers in that ministry. That ministry must have a vision. And without the vision, the people perish. But listen, without the people, the vision perishes. And so as your ministry grows and God gives you a greater vision and God gives you a greater word, he knows that you must have greater workers to bring the vision and the work to pass. And so God never gives you what you don't need. Never gives you what you don't need as it relates to ministry work. You don't need 1,000 people if you're doing the work of 100. But if you're doing a work of 1,000 people, God will make sure that 1,000 people are there to do the work. If you don't have an assignment of a work of 5,000 people, God's not going to give you 5,000 if you're not doing what you can with the 1,000. And so what you don't recognize is one of the things that's so true in most ministries, no matter how small or how large, it's generally no more than 20% of that 100% ministry that's really engaged in real labor for the Lord. on the national average, about 20% carries the load of the 100% in most ministries. Now, that's not every case, that's just the average case. And so what it means is 80% of you don't do nothing but show up on Sunday mornings. Can't get you to come no other time of the week. Don't come to Bible study. Don't come to prayer service. Don't come in any involvement in any other ministry. Don't. Y'all are mighty quiet right now. But the church keeps on rolling. Some of you take vacation, take your tithes with you, your gifts, your offerings, your rest of that, because you might need that on vacation. You miss a month, you miss 2 months, you miss 3 months. But when you come back to church, it's still rolling. You need help, you need hope, you need God, and he's right there. But so oftentimes, those who are responsible for carrying their share of the load don't do so. But the 20% keep on going. And that's why you have sometimes so few people doing so much in so many places. I wish in our ministry that our ministry members would become so active in the work of God that we wouldn't have to use but one member in one ministry, and that that one ministry that they worked in would be the only ministry that they wouldn't wear 3, 4, and 5 hats, because that burns them out. But because their heart is so passionate for the Lord and the work of the Lord, they do it because no one else wants to step up to the plate. And thank God for those faithful folk. Because how much that we now enjoy and experience would be here. All you have to do is think about it this way. What would happen to Sunday school if you were the only one in Sunday school? We wouldn't have a Sunday school for most of us. What would happen if on Bible study nights, you, not your neighbor, didn't show up to Bible study? Or count the times you've shown up to Bible study here in the 9th month of this year, 2006, and think about how many times we would have come here, turned the lights on, and waited, and because you didn't show up, we went back home. Think about how many times, and whatever area of ministry you want to liken it to, think about how it would be without your participation, and you would soon realize we really wouldn't have a ministry at all if it weren't for the faithful folk who were holding up the bloodstained banner and holding it up high. So listen at this. This message is not to condemn, but simply to make you aware of how necessary you need to realize your part is in any ministry God calls you to. God never calls you to a ministry without a purpose of using you to minister. Did you hear what I said? I said God never calls you to a ministry without the purpose of having you to minister. God has an assignment for you. He's equipping you so that you will in turn be able to be active in some ministry, whether it presently exists or one that he will cause to exist by what he's doing through you. There are people who's got ministries inside of them right now travailing. They are waiting to be birthed. Every ministry that we shall have is not yet in existence, but it exists in somebody. And when you come to that place, the reason why it has not been born yet is because God is still preparing you. But I got news for you. When you're prepared, it's going to drop without warning. You may be in the mall, and you may be on the street, and you may be here, and you may be there, you may be at work, but when the Spirit of the Lord says that it is time for that ministry to be born, I don't care where you are, you won't be able to fight it. It's going to happen. And you're going to know God wants you because you're the one he's going to assign to bring that into fruition.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website, at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen.